Good morning. Today's Daf Nazir Chav Dalet. We're starting with the Mishnah today on Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, and I hope everyone enjoyed yesterday's Daf. The Agarata, the Hashkafa, I know you know what's coming up, but let me set it up. So the Hashkafa, the Kavana, the significance of Kavana, discussing Rus and Tamar, and it was a easy Gemara yesterday, enjoyable Gemara today. Okay, welcome to today's Daf. Today's Daf in Chav Dalet. So we're going to be discussing Karbanos. So at the conclusion, it's Kachem. Today's a Kachem day. So good. And everybody, please sit back, enjoy, as we're going to be discussing Karbanos. So when a Nazir successfully concludes Nazir, so what happens is that there's an assortment of Karbanos that need to be brought. Let's go over the Karbanos briefly, shall we? It's a chatas, it's an ola neshlamim. And again, I keep repeating this, but it's important, not to be confused with the nazir that's brought by not to be confused with the kabbarnas that's brought by nazir tameh, right? So a nazir who, in the course of his naziris becomes tameh, and now it has to go through the process of tahara. So on day eight of, in other words, day seven is where he finishes his tahara on day eight, so he brings an assortment of kabbarnas as well. Three, but it's a different three. In other words, there it's chatas ola, a pair of birds, and it's also going to be an asham. Okay, so that's different. Over here, we're just talking about a simple pashut conclusion of his naziris or her naziris, where now at the after the minyan, you count the days in which you commit yourself to become a nazir, and then afterwards you're going through giluach, and you're going to be bringing chatas ola and shlamim. Okay, carbon chatas that you bring, why? Because the Torah says so, right? That's the best answer and the most correct answer. And then, hashkafically, we've seen time and again throughout the Masechta that perhaps the chatas is because the Nazir was a chote. Okay, and exactly what that means and hashkafically how to view it. So again, machlokas tanai, machlokas rishonim, that we're not going to go over again right now, but a carbon chatas. Carbon ola, once again, because the Torah says so, and the shlamim. Now, the shlamim over here of the Nazir is unusual, because not only is there a shlamim that's being brought, but in addition to the karmen shlamim, so they're also going to be, there's also going to be lechem as well. And also the shlamim becomes a little bit strange, a little bit unusual, because the hair that's shaved off of his head, so that's going to be taken, put under the pot in which the karmen shlamim is being cooked. Okay. Good. More of these details coming up, but right now, just basic knowledge regarding the karbanos that's brought by Nazir at the conclusion of Naziris. Now, with that stated, so now as we already have established, because the Torah says so, meaning even before we got to the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Torah Shebichsav, the Torah says that either a man or a woman could be a Nazir. Okay. So now, just what we're going to be dealing with today is really simple, but at the same time, just slightly complicated, and that is that a woman decides that she's going to become a Nazir, and she's married. So under those circumstances, so now those karbanos are being funded by who? She's funding her karbanos, her husband's funding the karbanos. So as we'll be discussing over the course of today's daf, so there is financial obligations that the husband has to his wife. So responsibility and liability that the husband has to his wife. And he has to feed her and clothe her and provide for her shelter. And on top of that also, in other words, as part of basic necessities that the husband has to provide for his wife, he's also got to bring her karbanos as well, right? She just had a baby. She has got that also brings about a carbon responsibility, carbon liability. So the husband's got to pay for that. That's part of his financial package and financial responsibility that he has towards his wife. Okay. So right now, if a woman is married and she becomes a nazir, so then the bill for the karbanos is going to be sitting right there at the foot of her husband, and he's going to pay that bill. So far, so good. Out of curiosity, knowing that the husband has to pay the bill, has to pay for the karbanos of his wife. Well, look, the husband can be made for the neder from the beginning. But in other words, but does she need to consult with him? Look, I want to be a nazir. I want to be a nazira, right? And I know it's going to be another line item on the credit card. Right? Are you okay with that? In other words, does she have to ask him? Presumably the answer is yes, but anyway, okay. So that's just an outline. That's a layout of everything that we're going to be discussing. And so let's begin. Ha'isha she'nazra b'nazir v'yifrishes b'emta. Now this Mishnah should sound familiar because we cited this Mishnah earlier in the Masechta, but now we're doing the Mishnah inside. So she declares herself to be a Nazir, and V'yifrishas behemta. And she set aside her kabanas. And then what happens is that the husband comes in, the husband's mefer. Okay. Now, everyone's going to remember, because we did this not so long ago, just a couple days ago, in terms of the hafar of the husband. So is that retroactive all the way to the top point in which he originally made the neder? No, it was a mikan lahaba. That is two considerations of the Gemara. The Gemara went back and forth on this issue. However, right now, she's no longer a nazir. That we could say definitively. And as such, now what happens to those animals that she set aside as a carbon? It's a simple question. The Mishnah over here is going to be making a distinction. Im shalo haisa behema teitza v'tira be'eder, v'im shalo haisa behema achatas tamas v'ola tikra v'ola, shlamim tikra v'shlamim v'necham l'yam echad v'ein tanim lechem. Okay, so, the Mishnah says the distinction will be like this. If the animals belong to him, so teitza v'tira be'eder. So the animals now can go back to the pen. The animals are fine. The animals have no kedusha to it whatsoever. Meaning, huh? Nothing has kedusha. Nothing has kedusha. In other words, if the animals belong to him, so that means to say that the animals were set aside. They were his animals set aside for her nazirus, and at this point in time, there's no longer her nazirus. Therefore, the animals are not invested with any kedusha whatsoever. And so therefore, once her Naziris has come to an end via Hafara, so therefore those animals simply don't have any Kedusha whatsoever. They go right back to the pen. However, if the animals belong to her, now that's a loaded statement, the animals belonging to her. In other words, she's a married woman, so generally speaking, money of a married woman all goes and funnels to the husband. So hold that thought later. Right at the midpoint of today's daf, we're going to be addressing the basic question of how does she have animals? How does she have assets? So that's coming up a little bit later on. So the imshala haisa behema. So if the animals belong to her, so now, so as far as the karvan chatas is concerned, so that has to be disposed of. In other words, that is a chatas that's holech lemisa. Okay. Ve'ola tikravola, the karbanola can be brought as a karbanola. Shlamim is going to be brought as a karban shlamim. However, an unusual karban shlamim, ne'echalam le'yom echad, it's only going to be eaten for one day. Shlamim normally is eaten for 2 days, the day that it's offered, the night thereafter, and the day following that. And over here, this karban shlamim is only going to be given a one day window of being eaten. And when it says yom echad, it means today and tonight. And ain't to un lechem. However, there is no lechem. There's no bread that's going to be accompanying this shlamim. We're gonna articulate why that is in just a moment. Okay. So,
is the shlamim divided by what they can eat and what the kohen can eat? Isn't there a portion of it that has to be?
Some of it goes to the kohen. Yeah. Right. Chazav v'shok goes to the kohen. Good. So the fine. So what we have in our mission over here is a very basic distinction to be made between whether the animals belong to him or her. A woman becomes a Nazir, a married woman becomes a Nazira. Husband is Mefer at a later point in time after she was Mafrish the Karbanos. So it depends who his animals belongs to. His animals? Oh, okay, fine. She's no longer Nazir. The animals are just simply Chulin. They revert back to being Chulin, absolute Chulin. They were never her animals. In other words, she never injected them with Kedusha, meaning she just simply set them aside as her Karbanos, but they have no Kedusha. They weren't hers. On the other hand, if the animals belong to her, so those animals are invested now with Kedusha, and now the ramifications. Chatzos is going to be disposed of. The Ola is going to be offered as an Ola, because the Ola can be offered voluntarily anyway. The Shlamim is going to be offered as a Karmi Shlamim, because the Shlamim can also be offered voluntarily, and good. However, the Shlamim is going to be a little bit strange. It'll be a little bit unusual, in that you don't have the two window of eating, only the one day of eating of the Karmi Shlamim. But there's no lechem that accompanies it. Okay, good. That is a basic distinction. More of it is going to be discussed and described as we go through today's daf. Now, hayulamas asumim. So now, what if the animals were not set aside, but money was set aside? The money is what's called stumim, meaning it was unidentified as which money is going to be applied to which carbon. So yipulun adava. So what you're going to do with that money is that you're simply going to put in the pushka. I say pushka. What do I mean? So throughout Shas, every time we talk about the Nadava, so that we know that there are pushkas in the Beis HaMikdash where monies could be used, are going to be put over there, and at a slow time in the Beis HaMikdash, that money is going to be used for Karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, right? What's called Ketz HaMizbeach. Good. Mas mufurashim. So, but what if the money was set aside, was identified and specified which monies are going to go to which carbon? So now each series of money, each set of money is now going to be, has already been identified. It's going to be used for a specific carbon. That money now has kedusha and specific to the carbon in which it was set aside for. Now what do you do with the money? So the money set aside for the carbon chatas, that needs to be disposed of. Again, that's going to be treated like the chatas amesa. So you can't get benefit from the money. However, there is no isser of me'ila on that money. Again, at a different point in time, I'll explain that a little bit better. So demei ola yaviola umo alin behen. So as far as the demei ola is concerned, so you have to bring a carbon ola and subject to me'ila. Misappropriation of that money would be a violation of the Isser Me'ila. The Isser Me'ila in which you're going to have to make full restitution, now to Chomesh, bring an Usha Me'ila. So in other words, the money now is in fact eligible for the Isser Me'ila. And your Demei Shlamim Yavu Shlamim, V'necham L'yom Echad V'ein Tanim Lechem. Now as far as the Demei Shlamim is concerned, so you're going to bring a Karben Shlamim with it, but again, a Karben Shlamim that we're going to treat like the Shlamim of a Nazir, in which you don't have a two-day window to eat it, only a one-day window to eat it, and on top of that, no lechem, no bread that's going to accompany it. Okay, so good. So we have a Mishnah that describes a woman who is a Nazira, husband is Mayfair, so in other words, rips the carpet right underneath, no longer Nazira. What becomes now of the animals that were set aside? Alternatively, what's done with the money that's set aside? And a simple distinction between whose animals are they? Are they his or are they hers? Okay. Mantana de Ba'ala Mishtabidla. Okay, so the Gemara starts off now with a really basic question, and that is, how in the world are we making a distinction between his animals and her animals? Okay. Meaning the Mishnah clearly does. But how are we doing that? Meaning, if she is a Nazira, isn't he now obligated and responsible to provide for her all the karbanos that she needs? In other words, she needs to eat, he has to provide for her food. She needs clothing, he has to provide for her clothing. She needs karbanos. And bezman beis hamikdash, it's just one of the requirements of life. You need karbanos. And so over here, if in fact she needs karbanos, so he's got to pay for it. And not only does he have to pay for it, she would. Meaning it is an absolute obligation, it's a financial obligation with a lien that one could put on the husband. When his wife has a carbon requirement. And so, is there anyone out there that's of the position that a husband is not mishabed for his wife's carbonos? Because our Mishnah certainly sounds like that. Our Mishnah makes it sound like that there's a distinction to be made between whether the animals are his or hers. If, in fact, he has a shibud, so then there shouldn't be any distinction between his versus hers. Okay. So that's a Gemara's question. So I'm Rav Chista Rabbanan. He the E Sagadach Rabbi Yehudi. Am I Teitzah V'Tira Be'eder? Hamishtabela. So Rav Chista says, okay. So what I'll tell you is that you're right. Meaning there is a machlokas atonayim whether or not the husband's assets are mishubad for his wife's karbanos and nachinami. Meaning the tanayim debate this very issue, and our Mishnah is only going to work within the position that there's no shibud. And if I subscribe to the position that there is in fact a shibud, so now no distinction can be made between whether the karbanos belong to him or whether they belong to her. Even if they belong to him, once he has a responsibility, a financial responsibility to pay for her karbanos, so then once the animals are set aside, they are in fact invested with kedusha. The only way that we could see our Mishnah is only through the position that there's no shibud.
He has a shibud to provide her, you know, food, shelter, but if she has her own money, she can buy her own food.
Well, we're going to get to that, right? That's part two of today's daf is if she has her own money, right? And we'll get to how that can happen. But in other words, but right now, even before we get to the if she has her own money, we're just trying to understand why should there be a distinction in the Mishnah between his animals versus her animals, right? We're right now just assuming that there's such a thing as her animals. Okay. We'll get to the how can that be. But if in fact there is such a thing as her animals and there's his animals, but his animals are responsible for her. So then Why should there be a difference in the Mishnah? Okay.
Must you set aside your karbanos when you
dedicate? You don't have to set aside your karbanos, but eventually you're going to have to bring a karban.
Eventually, but yeah. Wait till the end of your journey.
100% it could wait. But we're describing right now that she thinks in her head right now, I'm going to finish in Zeziris. And therefore, in anticipation, she sets it aside. And then what happens is that the husband is Mefer. Right? Okay. And now, the focus of our entire daf today is what becomes of the animals. Okay, good. So, Ditanya, the Gemara, quotes the following, Raisa, Rebbe Yehuda, Omer, Adam, Evi, Karban, Asher, Alishta, V'chein, Kol, Karban, Asher, Shichayevis, Shichach, Kasov, La, Kolach, Raisa, Yislach, Alayim, In, Kadama, Tana. Fine. So Shitas Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda says is that husband is responsible for all the karban of his wife. In fact, you're right into the ksuva. Okay. In other words, we just read. I'm not translating every word, but we just read the language that's used in the ksuva itself, which basically says, if I can just summarize, I'm going to be obligated to pay for all your karbanos. Now, another detail which I also just glossed over a little too quickly, and that is adam evi karban ashir. Al ishto, that the husband's got to bring a karban asher, right? If you've been around long enough in the daf and you heard kachim over here in the daf, so you know already. In other words, there's certain karbanos that are going to vary based on your socioeconomic scale, depending on where you are economically, financially. So you're either going to bring animal or a pair of birds or flower, depending on where you are financially. Right, not every karban, but limited number of karbanos, which are going to adjust based on your finances. And so over here, she's married to a man, and Baruch Hashem, she married a wealthy man. And so now he has to pay for her karbanos. In other words, you can for a moment think, okay, I'm wealthy, but that means I have to afford for you the wealthier karbanos, according to Rav Yehuda, absolutely. In other words, because his shibud is going to require that he pays for her karbanos based on his finances. And so therefore, since he's in a position of wealth, so therefore he's going to have to pay for her the highest level of karbanos. Anyway, all this basically comes down to the following, and that is that in our Mishnah, when our Mishnah describes the distinction between husband and wife, his animals versus her animals, and if the hafrasha was done on his animals, and then he's mefer, the animals just go right back to the pen and have no kedusha to it whatsoever. The only way to see it is only through the view of not Rebbe Yehuda. Because according to Rebbe Yehuda, there's a shibud. Once there's a shibud, no difference can be made between his versus her animals. Okay. That's one way to say it, and that is, let's give credit where credit is due. So that's Rav Chista. So Rav Chista says that the only way to see our Mishnah is through the viewpoint of the Chachamim and not Rebbe Yehuda. Good. Rav Amar Filatem Rebbe Yehuda. Oh, so the Gemara says, no. So Rava says, look, I can even see it through the lens of Rabbi Yehuda. Ki mishabela. In other words, when is there a shibud b'milsa de tzrichala? B'milsa de lo tzrichala lo. Okay. In other words, and what Rava says is that you don't have to limit our Mishnah. Our Mishnah could even go through the lens of Rabbi Yehuda. Well, how can that be? It's very simple. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the husband does have a shibud. That part's true. But the shibud is only on that what the karbanos that she requires. Once there is no requirement of a karban, so then there's no longer a shibud. So in other words, when the husband is made for the neder of his wife, she's no longer nazira, she no longer requires a karban. I know you set aside my animals. I know my animals are responsible for your, my animals are responsible for your karban requirement, but that's only for karban requirement. Once the hafar is done, once you're no longer nazira, my animals no longer have a shibud, and therefore they revert to being just simply my animals. Okay. So the...
We can infer that Apollo is from the beginning, not from, from now on. We can infer from this, since there's no shibud anymore, that he was made from the Apollo.
Right. In other words, right. Correct. In other words, good. In other words, what Phil's pointing out over here is that this, in fact, may be a way of litigating whether or not it's the hafara is done lamafreya, whether it's done only mikana laba. Okay, good. Okay. Iga da amre mantana. Okay, so far what do we have over here is that we have a question of how a distinction can be made between his animals or animals. So, and we have two approaches of the Amoraim, Rav Chista and Rava. Rav Chista is of the position that the only way to really look at our Mishnah is only by not subscribing to Rabbi Yehuda, which, by the way, that in of itself doesn't seem to be the end of the world, meaning the Chachamim arguing with Rav Yehuda. All we're going to do is we're going to take the Das Rabim, the Shitas Rabim, and simply plug it into our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is going like the Chachamim, okay, and not Rav Yehuda. But what Rava attempts to do is that say, no, maybe our Mishnah could even be going like Rava as well. Our Mishnah could be going like Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a husband has a shibud towards the carbon of his wife, but that's only when needed. When not needed, there's no shibud. Okay.
When she made the haprosha, it was a shibud. It was needed.
Right. Correct. Right. So Rava is saying a chiddush. Rava is saying is that the shibud is only there and when the carbonas are actually offered, meaning up until
it became hekdesh when she made that brusha. Right.
Again, that goes back to Phil's point, meaning that if the hafara is mikara, then there was never a need. Okay. It gets a little bit trickier, right? It gets a little bit trickier if it's megas gaius, if it's mikan lahaba. Then there was a period of time where it was needed. And then it becomes more of a chiddush. Right.
Maybe it was the first day.
It could be. Okay, Igaz Amri Mantana. Okay, so the Gemara now is just simply going to go through a slightly different version of the same discussion.
So
if it's hers now, so that means that the...
It's not needed anymore.
Huh?
So it's not needed.
Right. So again, that... So in other words, but if it's hers, so then once she was mafresh it's given the kedusha.
Right. What's the difference?
Right. But in other words, I do hear you. But in other words, when they're his, it's almost as if, in other words, we're setting it aside for you. But in other words, the woman can't be maktish his karbanos. Right. You're right. You're going back to the Gemara's question, right? So it's easier to hear. In other words, it's certainly easier to hear Rav Chisda, meaning our Mishnah's not going like Rabbi Yehuda. Right. Rav is saying a bigger Chiddush. I'm with you. Okay.
But the Mishnah's saying that he has no obligation, really.
But the Mishnah's not saying anything like that. The Mishnah's just coming from the perspective of what becomes of the animals. What we're doing now is that we're looking at the Mishnah, and now we're trying to figure out, based on what happens to the animals, we can now we're going to now be able to see what his responsibilities are, okay, if in fact he has any. The Mishnah doesn't say anything about his responsibilities.
With the Rabbanan, lo mishabed la klal, saying that he's not obligated there at all.
Right, correct. But again, the Mishnah is not talking about whether there is or there isn't a shibud. The Mishnah's only point is whether or not the animals retain Kedusha or not. Post Hafara, do the animals retain Kedusha? That's the only thing the Mishnah says. And what we're trying...
with the Rabbanan?
Again, that's the analysis of the Mishnah. So Rav Chisda says, okay, so then in terms of analysis of the Mishnah, so it's fair to say that there's no Shibud. But that's only how we're analyzing the Mishnah. Okay. And Rav is telling you, nah. Rav is saying nah. You can even go have the Mishnah going like Rabbi Yehuda, and somehow, this is what we're pointing out over here. Somehow, in other words, he has a shibud, but limited shibud, only for things that she needs. I hear she doesn't need it. Shibud's gone. Okay. Ikedamri in a slightly different version. Mantana Amar Rav Chisda Rabbi Yehuda v'chi mishabela b'milsa d'shichla b'milsa lo shichla lo di rabbanan lo mishabela klal. So the, So here in the second version, so now, who is the author of our Mishnah? So the Gemara says is that's Rabbi Yehuda. And when is there a Shibud? Only for things that she needs, but for things that she does need, there's no Shibud. And if you want to tell me that the Mishnah is going like the Chachamim, so there's mamish no Shibud at all. So Ela Hechidami de Meshabedla. So the Gemara says, okay. So, can you give me a circumstance in which there would be a shibud? Could go and dakni ala. V'kim and dakni ala, have a denafsha. So the Gemara says, well, what the only time that, according to the Chachamim, there would be any responsibility on the part of the husband is only when he makes a kinyan. And he says, I am now going to be giving you these animals for your karban purposes. And Rava Amar Afilo Teima Rabana. Now, in the second version, Rava would say no. Our Mishnah could be going like the Chacham. Ki maknila nami, b'milsa d'tzrichala, b'milsa d'tzrichala lo maknila. Even when a kinyan is done, the kinyan is done only when needed, when required. But if there's no requirement, so then the kinyan just simply going to be undone? Okay. I understand that.
Don't feed me enough.
We're getting there. That's coming up.
So coming up. The animals for her, but they're not necessarily. It's only if they're needed.
Correct. Absolutely correct. Okay, so first part of today's daf is now in the books. We are just as a quick recap. A simple question. The answer is not so simple, but a simple question. The Mishnah clearly makes a distinction whether the animals belong to him or her. In other words, the animals were set aside as a karban. Hafara was done. So it was hafrasha, hafara, right? If you're following carefully. So it's hafrasha and hafara. And then now simply a simple question is, what now becomes of the animals? If they're his, no kedusha. If they're hers, retainment of kedusha, and therefore have to be treated as such. Why a distinction is made? If, in fact, he's responsible for her carbon requirements, so why such a distinction is made? And then a discussion amongst the Amoraim, specifically Rav Chista and Rava, as to whose lens are we looking at our Mishnah through? Are we looking at it through the lens of Rabbi Yehuda? Are we looking at the lens of the Chachamim? And then, just to make things a little more complicated, two versions of the Gemara in terms of which lens is easier to see our Mishnah through. Is it easier to see the Mishnah through the lens of the Chachamim, or is it easier to see it through the lens of Rabbi Yehuda? Okay. Im shalaisa behemta chatas tamos v'ola tikraf. Okay, next part of today's daf, we're on Chavdal Amid Beis, and then the following. If the animals belong to her, so then the animals are going to have a retainment of Kedusha, and are treated as such. Again, I'm not going to go through all the details, but in other words, they have Kedusha, if they're hers. So he manala. So the Gemara says, okay, her having money, that's okay. I don't mean to sound mean, but that's laugh out loud funny. Meaning in terms of the financial arrangement of the Torah regarding husband and wife. So in other words, her money goes to him. Now again, in other words, the financial responsibility works in both directions. Meaning he has every obligation to support her and provide for her. But any earnings that she has, any findings that she has, so her maisa yada, her mitzias, they all go to the husband. So what does it mean that she has animals? So he manala hamar mashakanta isha kanabala. So the Gemara says a number of occasions that when a woman makes a kinyan, so it goes to the husband. So how can it possibly be that she has animals? Okay, so good. So it's a simple question. The Gemara is going to give a couple of answers. Number one, answer number one, Amar Papa Shikimsasam Isasa. Okay, so answer number one is that she saved. She saved. She put away and she saved. Saved from what? What does that mean, she saved? So take a look at Tosfos over here, where Tosfos discusses exactly how is she able to save a little bit of money and be able to retain it for herself. Tosfos writes, Tosfos is found here on the Amud Beis, second Dibra Amascho, Shikimsa Misasa, V'im Tomar. V'amar Beperek Afapi Demos Mizonos Baal. So the Gemara says, okay, we have a Gemara in Ksufa. The Gemara in Ksufa says that he's going to be giving her money every week for food. Okay. Let's say that she doesn't spend all that money, and she has a little bit of leftovers. The Gemara in Ksufa says that leftover money is going to go back to the husband. That's Moser Mizonos. So Moser Mizonos goes back to the husband. So over here, so she was given a certain a food allowance. She didn't spend it all. She saved a little bit. The money's hers. Meanwhile, the Gemara in Ksuvah says the money's not hers. It goes back to the husband. So how is our Gemara working? Tosfos writes, with number one, V'yesh omedachem arishama latzi maisei yadecha b'mazonosecha v'nitzrasis bechach v'osirimi maisei yadeha havayda didahu. So number one, we can go back to the Gemara is that we say numerous times throughout here, Seder Nashim, and that is that, look, there is basically quid pro quo. He's going to be giving her mizonos, and all of her earnings or Maisei Adayim are going to go to the husband. Let's say her Maisei Adayim, for whatever reason, she wants to keep her Maisei Adayim. The easiest explanation is she's doing well in terms of her earnings. right? Thank God she's earning a lot of money. And so what she would like to do is she would like to say, look, I know you have to support me. I know I have to give you my earnings, but I'll tell you what. You keep your support and I'll keep my earnings. Okay, good. And right, and shalom on our marriage. Fine. So she has the right to do that. So under those circumstances, that's maybe what the Gemara means. When the Gemara talks about shekamsa mi'isasa, she basically gets to retain her earnings in exchange for the husband not having to give her mizonos. Okay, that's one possibility. But Tosa then offers another. Votir it's haram. Dahadamina most of mizonos. Labal kagon, shekatsu lakach v'kach dinam l'shabbos, v'huzlu ha-mizonos, shedai la ba'oso kitzva kidei sav'a, v'hoser. Oso moser leba'al. Ava ha-chamayu shekimtza misasa shelo huzla mizonos, ala kimtza pizcha mipia, shelo achla kidei sova, da'hu moser ha-vevade dida. Such an interesting distinction in terms of making shalom between our Gemara here and the Gemara in Ksuvas. The Gemara in Ksuvas says that the moser of the mizonos goes back to the husband. That's talking about where there's deflation. And I know, a lot of people here don't know what deflation is. Why would you know? Right? When was the last time we experienced deflation? Okay. But in other words, what happened was is that he gave her a certain amount of money, and then all of a sudden, the prices dropped. Wow. And the purchasing power of that dollar that was given to her increased. So under those circumstances, if there's anything left over, that has to go to the husband. That's the Gemara in Ksuvas. Most of Mizonos go back to the husband. It's talking about where, for financial reasons, for economic reasons, her purchasing power increased, and she didn't need all that money. Okay, good. And our Gemara over here...
she can also make do with less.
So our Gemara over here is talking about where she made do with less. In other words, that really the truth of the matter is that money that was given to her really is her required food supply. And, right, she basically said, look, I'm going to be actually spending less because I'm going to be eating less. And under those circumstances, moser, any surplus over there, meaning she sacrificed in order to keep some of the money, that money belongs to her. An interesting resolution between our Gemara over here and the Gemara in Ksuvas. Okay. Anyway, so to make a longer story a little bit shorter, so can she have her own money? The answer is yes. The Gemara's expression, shekimsa mi'isasa. So shekimsa mi'isasa, and we just saw Tosos who gave two different explanations of what that could possibly mean. Okay, so back to the Gemara. So Rav Papa's answer, shekimsa mi'isasa, ibai se'emadak nilach, evam ala menashin labalach rishos behem. And the Gemara gives another answer, which again, this is an answer that we're familiar with. We've heard this answer numerous times throughout Shas. And that is that there can be gifts given by a third party to her to the exclusion of her husband. Such an arrangement can be made. That is a legal reality that a third party could say, look, this is going to be yours. And I know that normally, Mashakanta Isha Kanabala, I know that's normally true, but over here, I'm stipulating that that's not going to happen. It's going to be yours to the exclusion of your husband, exclusively yours. Okay. So to the question of can she have money, the answer is yes. It's just a question of legally how does that happen. And the Gemara gave a number of explanations, two explanations in terms of how that can happen. Okay, and we conclude today's daf. Ha'ola tikrav, ola v'ashlamim tikrav. Okay, and so now the remainder of today's daf is going to be a technical discussion regarding the lechem. So Shmuel says to Avu Abar Ihi, don't sit down until we go over the following. In other words, right, they are going back and forth, quizzing each other, testing each other, right, making sure that they have mastery over Tor Shebaal Peh. And Arba Elim She'inam Tunim Lechem. Shelo v'shela v'shela acher amisa v'shela acher kapara. Okay. So there are going to be four occasions where the aisle is going to be brought, but without the lechem. And I know, in other words, I know how to say it, but I'm not sure if I understand it. So there's shalom, there's shalah, there's acher misa, and acher kapara. And so normally the Torah requires the nazir to bring the shlamim, and that's going to be with lechem, and over here without lechem, four times. It's going to be brought without lechem. So can you do me a favor? Before you sit down, just quickly go over with me. What are the four times it's going to be brought without lechem? Shalah ha'damaran. Okay, so as far as shalah is concerned, so we know that. And that's going to be our Mishnah. Our Mishnah that describes where she was mafrish and then hafara occurred. And then after hafara, so the animals that belong to her are going to be brought as a karban. But again, because they were because she's no longer nazira, so the chatas has to be disposed of. The ola is going to be brought as just stam, a voluntary ola. And the shlamim is going to be brought as a voluntary shlamim, but with remnants of it being a shlamim nazir. In that, only one day to be eaten, not 2 days to be eaten, and no bread. Why? Because she's not a nazira. In other words, the nazira shlamim is brought with bread, but she's no longer a nazir. So bring it, but with no bread. Good. That's our Mishnah. So shalom. Now, as far as number two, right? And number two is going to be the following: Haish Madir's Beno Benazir Veinishem Madir's is Beno Benazir Gilach Oshel Gilchu Akrovim Micha Oshem Michu Akrovim Hayulam Moses Domi Liyipul Nadava Mos Meferashim Demei Chaltes Yachul Liam Amelach Demei Ola Yavi Ola Moalim Behem Demei Shlamim Yavi Ushlamim Venechalim Yom Echavein To Anim Lachem. Okay, so number two, in which there's not going to be lechem, is when the father makes his son a nazir. Now, if this sounds strange to you, so come back in a couple days from now. Meaning the Gemara Dav Chav Ches, right? Yep. Yeah. So right, Chav Ches Amad Beis, coming up a few days from now. So it's going to be describing that this is something that a father can impose on his child, that his child is going to be a nazir. So anyway, let's just leave it at that. So it can happen, and as a result of it can happen, so the what happens if a family member was mocha, in other words, basically declined. So the father said imposed naziris on his kid. And then it was declined. It was rejected. So under those circumstances, so once again, if the animals were already set aside, so we know the story. The story is going to be the chatzis has to be disposed of, and the old and the shlamim are going to be brought as voluntary, and the shlamim is going to be brought without lechem. Okay, fine. La'achem, he said, minal detanya. So now what about number three? Number three is going to be amafrish mals and naziros of. So somebody set aside money for his naziros loan and envelope malim behemim neshein ruim lavi bekol and shlamim. Now, as far as that money is concerned, so it's not going to be subject to meila. This is a technical point, important point, but it's technical, in that since any of that money could be used for the shlamim, and the shlamim money right now is not meila eligible, only ola money is meila eligible. Chata's money is meila eligible, but not shlamim. Okay. So since any of this money, the money is fungible, and any of the money could be used for shlamim, so therefore the money is not going to be eligible for me'ila. Fine. Meis v'ayulam ma'usasumim. Now, let's say this person set aside money for his carbon naziris, and rachmanis, he died before he concludes naziris. So stumim yipul nadava. If the money was unspecified, it goes to the nadava. And however, ma'us mefurashim, but if the money was in fact set aside for which carbonis it's going to be used for, so then, at this point in time, we could say it together by heart. And that is that the money for the chatzis has to be disposed of. So, lo nenin v'lo ma'olim behem. Demei ola yavi ola ma'olim behem. The money set aside for the carbon ola is going to be used for a carbon ola, and that money is subject to mi'ila. Demei shlamim yavi shlam v'nechal liyamecha v'ein tunim lachem. And as far as the shlamim is concerned, offered as a carbon shlamim, but again, with the restriction of a 1 day allowance to eat it, and also no lechem. Why? Because the nazir is no longer here. Rachmanis, he died. Okay, and finally shala acher kapara. So the la acher kapara. What does that mean? It means that he lost his karbanos. He brought a replacement karbanos. He found the original karbanos. So now, as far as shala acher kapara is concerned, so there too. So now, once you're bringing these karbanos, which now become unnecessary, they were the superfluous karbanos. You already brought your replacement karbanos. So now, with these karbanos that you found, what happens to them? So the shlamim is going to be brought, but without the lechem. Svarahu. And the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what, it is logical. So, shalachar amisa maitam delo chazal kapara. Shalacha kapara nami halochazila kapara. Okay. So the, okay, it's no different than lacha misa. Lacha misa, no kapara is required. So lacha kapara, obviously no kapara is required. Okay. So what we just covered now is four times where the shlamim of a nazir is going to be brought, the karbonus of a nazir is going to be brought, but without the lachem. Okay. And basically we went over the four occasions, the four times in which that's going to happen. Good. And just to wrap up today's daf, ha'ika, v'su leka v'ha'ika v'shar kol shami nazir, sheshachtun shalo kimitzvasan, ksherim v'lo olin labalim l'shem chova, v'nechal miyamecha v'intunim lo lechem v'lo zroa. What happens when the Kohen, if the Kohen were to offer the karbanos, but he did so with improper kavana. So the so under those circumstances now, we know if it's shalol lishma, so what happens now is that detachment, meaning it no longer works for its owners, and so the owner has to go ahead and get another karban. Fine. So and then as far as the Kohen's liability is concerned, I know that always becomes an issue, but meanwhile, right now we're just focusing on the karban. So now what happens with these karban nazir, because of the kavana of the Kohen, they now become detached from the owner. So now what happens is that they're offered, but again, in the manner in which we just described. So the chatas has to be disposed of, and the shlamim and the ol are going to be offered, but without lechem. So what does that mean? We have a fifth occasion in which lechem is not offered. So the Gemara says, "Kimitzvasam kachashav shalok, kimitzvasam lo kachashav." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but that doesn't belong in this category. Our category of four over here is everything was done properly, and still lechem is not offered. So the short list of four times where lechem is not going to be brought, we can conceive of a fifth time, but it doesn't belong in this category because this category is only kimitzvasam." Okay, adkan. That takes us to the end. Okay, quick recap of today's daf. In the beginning of today's daf, we talked about where she was mafresh her kabbanis when she declared herself to be Nazira. Husband was mayfair. Now, what becomes of the karbanos that she set aside? So, in her Mishnah says, depends if whether they're his or whether they're hers. If they're his, the animals go back right to the Eder. They go right back to the pen. They have no Kedusha. If they're hers, they have Kedusha and they have to be treated as such. Okay, and the treatment of the karbanos, each one of the karbanos described in detail in our Mishnah. Okay, topic number one of today's daf. Doesn't he have a Sheba to provide her karbanos? And if so, why is there a distinction between his versus hers? So that was part one of today's daf. And then it got a little bit complicated because there are two lenses in which to look through. The lens of Rabbi Yehuda and the lens of the Chachamim. And there are two versions of the Gemara. Which lens is easier to look at our Mishnah? Is it easier to see our Mishnah through the Chachamim? Or is it easier to see it through the Shita Rabbi Yehuda? Okay, two versions of the Gemara. And that was the Amud Aleph of today's daf. On the Amud Beis, two topics on the Amud Beis. Number one is that how can she have money? How could she have? How could she set aside her karbanos? Anything that she acquires is going to go to the husband. So how could she have money? The Gemara says it's possible. She can have money, right? Either kimtsasa mi'isasa is possibility number one. We went through Tosfos today. Two explanations of what that means. Alternatively, she can have money because she was given an exclusionary gift, right? The gift was given to her to the exclusion of her husband. Okay. And then finally, our last topic for today. So give me the short list. Our Mishnah describes a shlamim of a nazir, the kabbanus of a nazir that's going to be offered, but sans lechem. So give me the short list. There's four times in halacha where that's going to happen. And so we went through it. Shalosh, shalah, achar misa, and achar kapara. And then with the Gemara was mazbe, the four times. And then finally, the end of today's daf, where there's a fifth one, the Gemara says, yeah, I know, but that shalokim mitzvah son doesn't belong.